Wonder, could we turn in our Bibles to Psalm 10? I'm going to read from the first verse of the psalm. This is the psalm that we were singing, but we'll turn to it in the scriptures. And reading from verse 1 of the Psalm 10. Psalm 10, beginning our reading at verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing, and deceit and fraud are under his tongue, his mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it. For thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, the man of the earth may no more oppress. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to all of our hearts. I'm going to say that we're now preparing for our election of committee. We'll probably leave that now into the new year, because we're coming very close to Christmas time and all that. So maybe early in the new year we'll have our election of committee. But there is a list now, a list again of the communicants. The same list is there. So if you were on before, you're still on there in the list of communicants. And also a list of those who are eligible to stand for committee. Now, if you want to remove your name, then do let some of the elders know. Just don't stroke it off the list there, but let some of the elders or myself know that that's what you want, and we will get that done for you. So the list is there, but let us know in good time, please, so that we can do that as soon as possible. Let's just unite together, please, in the word of prayer, and let's ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for thy word to our hearts. We thank thee for its blessing to our souls. And we pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst help us to understand and take it in and apply it to our souls and to our hearts. And bless us, our God, as we seek to serve thee. Come and meet us at the point of our need. And bless our hearts, we pray of thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Verse 17 is my text today. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Timmy the parakeet never saw trouble coming. One second he was peacefully perched on his perch in his cage. The next up he was sucked up, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy, his owner, decided that she was going to clean out his cage, and she decided that she would use the vacuum cleaner But she took off the attachment and stuck the end of the hose in the cage. And then the phone rang, and when she went off to answer the phone, the vacuum, the Hoover was still running. And the next thing, so Chippy was in the vacuum cleaner. Well, the owner ran back and she panicked and she opened the cleaner. And there was Chippy, was still alive in the midst of the vacuum cleaner. He was alive, but he was stunned. So, like any good owner, she took the parakeet out of the vacuum cleaner and took him to the bathroom and turned on the tap and gave him a wash. And then he was shivering, and so she got the hair dryer and began to dry him out. And the compassionate bird owner blasted Chippy with the hot air of the hair dryer. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. For a few days after the trauma, he was still recovering. And a reporter who had heard about the story came to speak to the owner, and she says, "Well, Chippy isn't singing anymore. He just sits and stares." You see, it's hard when you're sucked up, washed up, and blown over. And that's enough to steal the song from the most stout heart. And you know, there are many people who today are feeling as if they are sucked up, washed up, and blown over. And trouble, of course, is on every side. And we think of the psalmist here, and he is suffering from trouble. Look at what he says in verse 1. He says, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thy face in times of trouble?" And you notice how he says that the wicked seem to have gained strength and the upper hand. And God's people here are under pressure. And look at what he says in verse 2. He says, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor." And the worst thing is that in the midst of all this, the Lord did not seem to hear. But I want you to notice that though that is the case at the start of the psalm, as is invariably the case with these kinds of psalm where the psalmist thinks that God is not hearing his prayer, at the end of the psalm it comes to the point where he recognizes that God has heard his prayer. And you look at verse 17, our text, he says, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart and will cause thine ear to hear." And we always remember that in times of trouble, we have a great resource. It is the place of prayer. Man will suffer trouble through his life. Job 5 and 7 says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." And there are always troubles either staring us in the face or else just around the corner. And maybe you're in the midst of that today and you feel to some extent as if God has stood afar off, that God has not heard you, that God has not been there to care for you. Well, maybe you echo the words of the psalmist here. "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" But I want to encourage us today that we always, as God's people, can come to the place of prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And there's a great promise here. There's a great assurance that God gives to our hearts. He says, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear." And there are a number of wonderful lessons about the place of prayer that we can learn in this text of Scripture for a few minutes today. And the first thing I want you to see is the blessed fact. It's the psalmist says, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble." And that's always a blessed fact, to realize that God hears and answers prayer. God hears the prayers of his people. And he starts off the psalm, but at the end of the psalm, he thinks that God has not heard. But in the end, he recognizes his mistake. And thank God we can look at what he says at the end in our text here, and we can say it is a fact. It's a fact. It was a fact then in the days of David, and it is a fact now that God does hear the cry of the humble. I want you to think about the power of this fact. Notice the way that the text is expressed. You notice how he says that God hears the desire of the humble. He doesn't just say that he hears the prayers of the humble. He speaks of desires, and that means the longings and the wishes of the heart. It speaks of the deep desire that lies within. You see, sometimes we have desires that we cannot express. There are things that are too deep within that we cannot bring out into the open and we cannot give expression to them. There are things perhaps that we dare not express because we feel so unworthy. But thank God the Lord understands our desires. He knows all about us. In the Psalm 139 in verse 2, the Lord says, "Thou knowest," or the psalmist says, "Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." He says in Psalm 145 in verse 19, "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them." You remember the great promise that is given in Psalm 37 in verse 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." And that's a wonderful thing. God is able to meet the real, deep, down desires of our hearts. He means us to pray. The Bible says we often have not because we ask not. And maybe you say, if God hears my and knows my desires, why do I have to ask? Because he has laid down in his word that we ask. But I wonder today if we can be encouraged that God knows our desires. There are times when you think, you know, I listen to people in the prayer meeting or other Christians, and I wish I could be as eloquent in prayer as they are, or I could put the sentences together and make the petitions that they make. But thank God it is not the eloquence of our speech. It's not the way that we put words together that means something in our prayer. It is the desire of your heart. The hymn writer, James Montgomery rather, tells it in the famous hymn. He says, "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast." And thank God that the Lord discerns our desires. So we see the power of this fact. But also I want you to see the principle behind the fact. I want you to see something that is so often missed here. The heart of prayer is not what you say. The heart of prayer is what is in your soul. You know, we can go through a performance in prayer. And you know, we can go to prayer meeting, and we should. And when we go along to the prayer meeting, so often it is, the young Christians know how to pray, and we listen to others praying and putting their petitions together, and that's good. And we do learn so many things in that way, and we can listen to other saints of God and older saints, and we can learn how to pray. But we often also pick up their bad habits. And you know, we can go through a rigmarole and we can put prayer and we can be straight jacketed in prayer. And that is repetition as much as anything else. And you know, the Lord spoke about vain repetition. And we can be vain in our repetition every bit as much as the person who comes and reads their prayers from a prayer book or something like that. We have to be desirous. It's got to come from the heart. It's got to come from a real burden that God has put in our souls. So we notice the principle behind the fact. Prayer is something that comes from the heart. But then look at not only do we see the power of this fact that God answers prayer and the principle behind the fact that God answers prayer. But look at the point in time that God answers prayer. He said, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble." That is past perfect tense. It is something that has happened. It is the thought that God hears our prayers before we even ask. Maybe one day And maybe you saw somebody along the street, maybe a man huddling in a corner of a doorway, and you looked at that person, you said, that person needs help. Or somebody standing along the roadside and the car has broken down, you said, that person needs help. And you stopped to help them in some way or another. Now that person maybe never said anything to you. They couldn't say anything to you. But you could just read their desire, you could read their thoughts, and you knew what they wanted. And that's the same with the Lord. Now, the reason that we need to ask is because that sometimes I think that if God just gave us the desires that we want and we didn't have to ask, we'd rely upon ourselves and we'd think that it was our right to have it, and we wouldn't rely upon God. So God wants us to ask. But here is the wonderful truth, that God knows our desires and he answers prayer before we even ask. But look also at the proviso of the fact that God answers prayer. God hears prayer, and we see that in the promise. But I want you to see who it is that God hears the prayer of. God hears by way of acceptance of that prayer. Well, it says here that he hears the desire of the humble. What's that? What's the desires of the humble? Well, these are desires of the person who realizes that he deserves nothing. And these are the desires of a person who is willing to bring us all to the feet of the Lord and recognizes that he can do nothing, but that he needs to, he deserves nothing, he can do nothing, and all that he can do is lay it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle James in James 4:6 said, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we have nothing to be proud about. We look at our land and we look at the mess it's in. We look at our own lives and very often we look at the mess that they are in. And we deserve nothing of the blessing of God. And when we come humbly to God, when we come not just claiming something as a right or demanding it of God, but coming with that humility, we think of what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So we see the blessed fact, God hears the desires of the humble. And he does. He hears our desires. But not only do we see a blessed fact here, but I want you to see a blessed fitting. Because God fits the heart of those that pray to pray aright. He says, thou wilt prepare their heart. And there's the blessed promise that God will fit us to successfully pray. God will prepare us, prepare our hearts. The Lord does this preparing of the hearts of those that pray and are accepted before God. Now notice that he fits their hearts to pray. True prayer, as we say, is prepared of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, inspires the hearts of his people to pray aright, to have a burden. We think of what it says in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or himself, maketh intercession. He makes the intercessions for us. With groanings which cannot be uttered. He makes the intercessions that we make to him. He prepares our hearts. You notice there's an obligation in that text of scripture. It says that we should pray for as we ought. There's a note there. There is something that we ought to do. We ought to come to him with prepared hearts. We ought to come with our thoughts ordered, our petitions ordered by heaven itself. But how often we forget to do that. We rush into the presence of God. We come in a cold, mechanical way. And it's not a bit wonder then that the Lord doesn't hear us. You know, what is this kind of prepared prayer? Well, we read about this prepared prayer and this fitting of our hearts to prayer many times in the scriptures. Over in James 5, we read of a great example that James gives to us in James chapter 5. And if you look at verse 14 and 15, he speaks about Elijah. And he says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now, we're not so much concerned today about healing, but we're concerned about the fact that God answers prayer. Here is Elijah, and God, he prayed. And we have the instance of it here in this portion of Scripture. If we look at verse 17. "He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months." This was the prayer of faith. He came with this prayer of faith. He came with a heart that was prepared to pray. You notice what it says, the prayer of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And here is a person that has learned to pray with efficacy. And it is a prayer with a burden. It's a prayer with all his heart behind it. And he prays here, and he prays in faith. But what is this prayer of faith? You know, there are those who would say, well, you work it up. And they try to work it up. They say, name it and claim it. They say, well, if you can have faith, you can, if you believe, you can have the answer to your prayer. And they try to work up this faith. But that's not what is being spoken of here. There's a misunderstanding about the prayer of faith. But this prayer of faith is often spoken of here. And we have it in the instance of Elijah. You notice that he prayed and it did not rain. And then after 3 years and 6 months, he prayed again, and it rained from heaven. Here is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. But there's something that's often missed when we think about Elijah and his prayer. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. And you'll see how Elijah prayed. And we can see this if you look at verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 18. Here's Elijah, he's on Mount Carmel. He is going to battle with the prophets of Baal. And after he battles with the prophets of Baal and is victorious, the rain will come in answer to his prayer. But look at what it says in 1 Kings 18 and verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And you will see it later on, if you look at verse 41, there's something similar that is said. "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain." Now what was happening here is that Elijah went up to the mountain to pray, and he's praying for the abundance of rain. But as he prays, there's an abundance of rain already in his heart. He's already had the promise of God. He knows that it is the will of God to pray in such a way. And he goes and he already knows, this is the prayer of faith. He already knows that God is going to answer his prayer. And he's praying for rain, but God has fitted his heart. And he believes that there will be an abundance of rain. Now that's the prayer of faith. Now I've no need to tell you today that that's a very rare thing. But it ought not to be so. We need to be open to the working of the Spirit of God in our hearts. We need to be open that God would speak to us and give us the burdens to pray. Because we need to pray in faith like that. We need to have that prepared heart to pray and to seek the face of God. Not only were these people fitted to pray, but they were fitted for God's presence in Psalm number 10. The thought here in the psalm is of drawing near to God. It is the sense of a proper communication that is going on. And we need that real spiritual experience of the presence of God. Now I wonder how near the Lord is to you today. Are you fitted? Are you prompted? Are you prepared to pray? Or are you at a distance from the Lord? Is it a long time since you heard the voice of God speaking to you through His Word? You know, what we need to learn to do is sit down and listen. Listen to God. Listen to His promptings. Listen to what He wants us to do. We're hurrying here and hurrying there in this day and age and in generation. And we never sit down to prepare our hearts. Spurgeon, when he was preaching on this passage of Scripture, said this, and I quote, "Before musicians begin to play, they attend to their strings and see that their instruments are in order. You wish perhaps that the operation could be dispensed with, but it cannot be. It is one of the most necessary parts of the musician's work. Until he has learned to tune his instrument, what does he know? Until he has tuned it, what can he do? I wish we were already as people prepared for the Lord." And Spurgeon says, as the musician tunes the instrument, so we need to be tuned as we come into the presence of the Lord. So there is a blessed fitting of our hearts to pray in faith. There's a blessed fact here and a blessed fitting. But there's one more thing I want you to see, and that's a blessed favour. Because you notice what the Lord says to those that are humble at heart and come and bring their petitions to God. It says, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear." Now we know that prayer heard is prayer answered. And if God hears the voice of our supplication in the sense of accepting it, then our prayers will be heard. And it stands to reason, if God has prepared your heart to bring a burden, He'll not deny it to you. You know, if you saw a parent who tantalized their child with some promise of some goodie and excited the desire of the child and then didn't fulfill it, you'd think that person was a heartless being. Or if you held out your hand to the poor and then snatched what you had in your hand away from at the last minute, that would be something that would be very mean indeed. The Lord doesn't do that either. The Lord doesn't hold out something, promise something, and then snatch it away at the last minute. And God answers prayer. And I want you to see this is a present favour. Spurgeon said that he took this promise to mean that the Lord would hear soon. Sometimes when we pray, the answer does not come directly. Many times when we pray, we have to pray and pray again. But here is the thought of a speedy answer. I will answer soon. He will come speedily to answer our prayers. There is the thought many times of watching and waiting, and that is necessary, and we have to have our faith in God. But there are times when God comes and answers prayer suddenly. Not only is it a present favour, but it is a perpetual favour. If God promises to hear us now, then that promise is going to stand. God is not a man that should lie. He doesn't promise that He will hear the prayer of the humble one day and then reject those prayers the next. And that's a wonderful assurance to you and me in the place of prayer. Because I can pray with all my heart, and if that is a spirit-born prayer, if it is prepared in heaven, then I can be assured that I have an audience in heaven. And I thank God that He will certainly fulfill the conditions that are set down here in this portion of Scripture. You know, the motto of Glasgow, the full motto is, "Let Glasgow flourish by the preaching of thy word and the praising of thy name." The motto of the church should be, "Let the church flourish by the prayers of God's people." Because that's the way that the church will flourish. We need a breath of revival today. We need to see precious souls saved. We need to see men and women brought to the Savior. If you're not saved today, we need to pray effectively for you. We have been praying. We've been praying with all our hearts. And God, we believe and hope will save you. But you know, we need to pray with this effectiveness, this prayer of faith, with prayers that are born in heaven itself. Spirit-blessed, Spirit-initiated prayers. And we need to pray with all our hearts, because that is the very crux of the going forward of our church. It is as we go forward on our knees in the place of prayer. He says that he will hear the desire of the humble. He will prepare their heart. He will cause his ear to hear. We can rely upon that. Oh, let's redouble our efforts in the place of prayer. Let's make sure that our hearts are prepared, that we cry out to God, and we see mighty things done for his name's sake and for his glory. May God write his word upon our hearts just now. Let's unite in a word of prayer.